It's so good to be with you and everyone watching at Warner. It's such a blessing to be part of Summit Sunday. I was looking at the dates in my diary, and this is the 10th Summit Sunday I've actually been a part of. Jack was 17 when I started doing Summit Sundays, and all I can say is this: nothing but good in my life has happened since meeting Pastors Mark and Nina. They are just two of the greatest people. They have built such a significant and wonderful team across now three locations. And again, 10 years ago, there was only one. And look, there is multiplication of influence and seeing kingdom growth in different regions transforming lives. So I just want to say I'm so grateful to be part of the family here at Emerge. Some of my favorite people in the whole world. And Warner, if I could come and give you a big hug, I would. But take this as a big digital hug on the screen. And right now, I think that as we navigate the term blessed, because that's what Summit was about, right? It was about blessed, understanding blessing, living blessed. I just want to say this. Sometimes our definition of blessing is different to God's definition of blessing. And so today I want to share something that I've been working on for 14 months, not because I planned writing a sermon or teaching on this for 14 months, but because I've navigated things in my own life and gone, oh, there's different revelations of what blessed actually looks like, right? Because even if you are 95 years old and you are close to going to glory, there is still more to learn and have depth of revelation of what Holy Spirit wants to teach you and have a deeper, closer relationship to say, God, there's more. I have all, but there's actually more. All right, that's a paradox of the kingdom. I have access to all, but there's always more. And so across Warner, here, And our families that are going to, I believe, be transformed by this word, because if you have a revelation of what I'm about to speak on, I believe your families will be changed, because if you align yourself with what Holy Spirit is saying over your life, you get to align your whole family line with what God is saying over your whole life. Because the Bible talks about a blessing for 1,000 generations. So your blessing now isn't just about your blessing about fix and band-aid a scaffold issue. It's actually about what can transform my life now to transform the generations to come. Blessed. I love that term, blessed. Mary was blessed. Remember, the angel turns up to Mary and goes, you are blessed and highly favored. Who prays for that? Come on, let's be honest. I'm praying I'm blessed and highly favored. Do you realize what and how Mary's life looked like after she was blessed and highly favored? Who wants Herod after them? Escaping Egypt, riding a donkey, like on for a long way. You know, having the town or people in the town turn against you because they're making up rumors about how you got pregnant. Oh, but I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank God for his blessing. Thank God for his favor. Sometimes being blessed and highly favored means there is a kingdom disruption in your natural life to outwork something that God has promised for the world. And we have to be okay with the tension that says, I'm blessed and highly favored, and it doesn't always look neat. It doesn't always look comfortable. I love the announcement that Pastor Joe made about what's it called, Center of Hope or Finding Hope. I have the immense privilege, and I have had for the last 7 years, working with executives or people that you'd consider, it's like a high-end rehab, people that have struggled with addiction. And so today, there's going to be even some revelation around how do we cope when our souls don't know what to do? Because blessing isn't just spiritual, it's holistic. And so today, by the time we finish, and there'll be time for ministry, and even at Warner, there'll be time for ministry, is I want to show you the idea of the spiritual nature of being blessed, the science behind it, and the strategy on how to live in it. Because that's what we really live in, don't we? We live in the spiritual revelation, the science of how God actually designed us, and then the strategy to actually outwork it. So I want to give you three words. Jesus said them. They're very powerful, but I think they can be quite overlooked. Right? Because we look for the big stuff. But this was kind of like a big thing wrapped around something else. All right? Let's, if we bring the first slide up. do not worry. And you're like, oh, really? Out of all the revelations you could pick out of the Bible, he picked do not worry? Like, come on, Andrew, you've been doing this for like 10 years at Summit. Surely it's going to be more wow than do not worry. Until you realize that these red letters in the Bible that Jesus said are actually linked to way bigger things. We sing songs about the God that throws the universe into being, speaks life and life abundantly, heals the sick, raises the dead. We have access to all the kingdom of heaven. We sing the songs, we pray the prayers, and we truly, truly try to believe it. But have you ever been up at night worrying about something that God has already said yes and amen to? So why is there a dichotomy between what we sing and we truly want to believe versus the life that keeps us up at night? Jesus said, do not worry. Not a suggestion. Not a, I think it's a good idea if you don't. He said, do not worry. How much joy and peace and blessing and favor has been stolen worrying about things that God has already dealt with? Like, if there's ever a thief of joy, because think about what worry is. Worry is actually just a negative prophetic vision. Worrying about things because you're trying to control it when God's already given you usually the answer. So can I show you, what I want to do today is this. I want to give you a worry MRI. Like, how do you identify? Have you ever worried about stuff but didn't know how to pray for it? And so worry, in Jesus's Matthew 6 sermon, Sermon on the Mount, he literally says, do not worry, multiple times. But an MRI will actually allow us to identify what do we do with the particular worry he breaks down. And there's five types of worries he talks to, right? So an MRI is this, a magnetic resonance imaging machine. Do you know what magnetic means? Magnetic means we're attracting something. Resonance means there's a frequency to it. And imaging means that after you hear the frequency, you see a picture. Ever met somebody and you go, I just resonate with them. I don't know why. Is because there's a kingdom frequency that is happening, and you might have met them for 5 minutes, but there's a leap in your spirit because they agree with what God's agreeing about them, and that's what you are aligned with. So magnetic means we're attracting something, resonance means where there's a frequency, but imaging is what do we see after we've heard the frequency. And so when I do the MRI over worry, I need to know and be very aware, what am I attracting with the frequency I'm speaking so I can see what God is seeing. All right, so every type of, you know, have you ever prayed for something and gone, I used like the wrong spiritual muscle for that. Like for instance, when your teenager is acting up, it's not always spiritual. It's sometimes stupid. It's just called hormones, and they're physiologically changing. They don't have a demon. They are just going through puberty. All right? So I was a youth pastor for long enough to know this, and I would have mother after mother, you need to pray for my kid. There is oppression on their life. There are da-da-da-da. And I'm like, not really. You know, their body chemicals are just actually changing, and we just need to love them and support them. Now, if there's something spiritual going on, absolutely. And I believe in setting people free. But don't call a soul or a body issue something spiritual. So we have to understand what muscle are we using when we talk about what we worry about. And so this is a personal one for me because there was a time where I thought, oh no, I believe everything that I pray, everything that I'm declaring, everything that I'm favored in. And every now and then there'd be a night where you read an email. Good. Here's some good advice. Never, ever respond to an email between 3 and 6 in the morning. Don't ever write a text message between 3 and 6 in the morning. You will lose friends and relatives by responding. You know what? Because we're not thinking right. And I don't know if anybody else has ever been there, but I know for me, there's been nights where I have had to like go to sleep. Anyone have ever had like that leg twitch? And you're like, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. And the more you think about it, the worse it gets. But when Jesus said, do not worry, if all I think about is not worrying, guess what I'll do? I'll worry. So I have to actually replace it with promises that actually unlock the blessed life that he has for me. And like I said, today is going to be that catalytic moment where you go, you mean I do not have to worry? No, but like if Jesus said you can live a life like this, why don't we? Right? Like, do not worry. Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next slide. Psalm 67, this was the word for the conference, for summit. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. But this is the part that leapt out to me for your church and for your future. That your way may be known on earth. When Jesus said, do not worry, that was part of his way. If we want to see heaven on earth, there's a group of us that can actually live worry-free. And you go, really? Well, Jesus said it. It's not that circumstances won't come, stresses won't come, but we actually know what to do with them so it doesn't affect our kingdom identity and outworking here. And now, your way, I want to know his way on this earth. Do you want to know? I want to know his way. And part of his way is do not worry. Let's go to the next slide. Right at the end of Matthew 6 and Luke 12, because they're correlating verses, he actually says this, but seek first the kingdom of God. Like that is like the tail end. That's the bookend of it. But pre that, he's talking about do not worry, do not worry, do not worry. It's almost like he gives you this runway to say, and at the end of it all, if you seek the kingdom of God, all the things you ever worried about will be added unto you. It's not that what you're worrying about is bad. It's actually if you don't worry about it and you seek one thing, you get it all anyway. Do the one thing. I call this simplify to multiply. If you want to multiply your life, simplify your life. Let's go to the next slide. Let's go to the next one. So surrender and worry cannot live together. Let me explain. This is a very personal moment for me when I was up at like 3 a.m. figuring something out because something had happened and I'm like, well, how do I explain it? What's going to happen to, and hey, let's be really honest. If you're in business in particular, there are things that happen and you're like, that wasn't in the plan. That wasn't in the budget. Or it was meant to be in the budget, now it's not. Like just running a family budget, just running all that stuff. What happens? And so I'm up at night with like anxious leg. Go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. And I remember praying, I'm saying, Lord, like let me go to sleep, get rid of this thing. And he goes, well, I would if I had my hands on it. I'm like, you do? He goes, no, I don't. He goes, you're awake because you got your hands on it. I thought I lived a surrendered life. I sing the songs, right? I pray the prayers. I've been pastoring for 20-something years. I'm a third-generation Christian kid. I should know better. But I'm learning. I'm learning to let go. I'm learning that surrender and worry cannot coexist in the same ecosystem. And so here I am, awake at God knows what time, that 3 o'clock in the morning. And there I am, and I suddenly realized this. He said to me, he said, surrender and worry cannot coexist. If you give it to me, you'll stop worrying. And here's why. Because if I keep my hands on it, I'm in control of it. If I give it to him and surrender, and surrender is not an act of weakness, it's actually an act of strength. Surrender is humility and strength, allowing you to live free. So if you leave with one thing today, that's really what you need to leave with, is surrender and worry cannot live in the same ecosystem. So let me break it down really simple. If you are worrying about it, it's not surrendered. If you're a parent, a grandparent in here and you're praying for your kids, I get it. I have one teenager now. My daughter's about to be a teenager soon. I'm a parent. I worry. But, did I dedicate them unto the Lord? Yes. So I have to surrender them daily. Here, Lord, take them again. Take them again. And so it's not just, maybe it's a one-time act. It can be, but there's other times where you've got to do it daily. Lord, I surrender. I surrender my emotions to you. I surrender my business to you. I surrender my finances to you. You cannot, if you're worried about it, it's not surrendered. And for everyone watching, even at Warner, I want you to say, understand this. To live a blessed life is to live a surrendered life. Let's keep reading. Worry is very simple. It's pulled apart or divided in the mind. It's trying to live in two places at once. My world, what I think God should do. And it's being pulled apart multiple times over and over. That's what worry actually is. And even when I worked with psychological clinics, it would be exactly the same. They'd go, anxiety is actually trying to live in two places at once. So when we're worried, we have no unity even in how we think or what we believe. Let's go to the next slide. So worry is not in line with the new covenant. So what's the new covenant? Now, the new covenant is this. Let me give you a quick breakdown. The new covenant is unilateral, not bilateral. What does that mean? You go, a bilateral covenant is I perform, God performs. A unilateral covenant is he performs and he performs for us. So what he said, he will also perform. So when we worry, what we're saying is that I'm happy to live under an old covenant where I do things in order for you to bless me. And if I worry about it enough and fix it enough, it'll look fancy enough for God's favor to be on my life. However, worry is not part of the new covenant. Because what's true of Jesus is now true of us. Luke 12:32 says this, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It brings the Father pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's not, we're not earning it, it's a gift. So worry isn't part of that new covenant reality. Let me put it this way. It is, under the new covenant, it is illegal, because a covenant is a legal document. It's a legal transaction, right? So when Pastor Joe was talking about communion and how he, in Colossians, how he absolutely destroyed and shamed what the enemy had done, the notes, nailing them to the cross, that was actually part of the legal documentation for the new covenant. Let me put this out there for you and for everyone at Warner. It is illegal for you not to be blessed under the new covenant. Illegal. However, that doesn't mean happy. It means blessed. Because sometimes blessing and happiness and our emotions aren't always connected. So blessings and your emotions are connected but not correlated. What it means is that there's a connection. I want you to be happy, but your happiness doesn't determine how many blessings I think you have, either or your sadness. Because there are seasons of sadness that actually turn out to be some of your greatest blessings. All right, so let's be really clear. It is illegal for you not to be blessed under the new covenant. That's why Jesus says, do not worry. He's trying to line us up with what is true of him will be true of us. I don't think Jesus is worried right now. Because part of new covenant reality is I don't have to worry. Let's go to the next slide. Blessing transcends emotions. I want you to think about it this way. The sun is like the blessing. Your emotions are like the weather. That's the simplest way I can explain it. If you're a young person here, understand this. God's blessing is the sun. Your emotions are the weather. Does the sun ever go away? Do your emotions change on the day? Yeah. So sometimes you've got to go, I know that it looks like gray clouds and I'm feeling that rain, but I know the sun is shining above it. And so what I'm worried about will pass because that blessing remains. Let's go to the next slide. Let's go to the next slide. If we go to, here we go, Matthew 6. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Now, there's three verses and I've jumped around a little bit. But it says, therefore, I say. I want you to remember that. Jesus says, I say, right? Do not worry. Therefore, do not worry saying. That's us. So there's a part in the do not worry where he goes, I declare something over worry. But there's also something you declare when you're worried. Right? He says, I say, do not worry. But then there's a frequency you say when you worry. Right? And then he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Let's keep reading. He starts here in Matthew 6. This is the prequel to that those verses. This is all about finances. Do not lay up your treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Not where your heart is, your treasure will be. No, no, no. Where your treasure is, your heart will follow. Meaning, I'll know where your heart is if I follow your receipts. Right? If you say you're passionate about missions, do you give to it? If you're passionate about young generation and next generation ministry, do you give to the youth ministry when they have a fundraiser? Right, because wherever your money goes, your heart actually is attached to it. Does my heart sometimes go to the outlets? Absolutely. Harbourtown and DFO have my heart sometimes when there's a good sale on. But if I want to know where your heart is, don't tell me what your heart is. Just show me your receipts. Right? So the prequel to the do not worry, he actually talks about finance. Let's go to the next slide. The lamp of the body, where he talks about the eye is good and it'll be full of light. That's a euphemism. If your eye was full of light, it meant you were a generous person. If your eye was full of darkness, it meant you were stingy and greedy. Let's go to the next slide. And then it says this. This is just the prequel, right? No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon wasn't just a person. It was actually a money philosophy. It was actually something that was spiritual about finances. So here we have the prequel to do not worry. He talks about prosperity and it's different to provision. Prosperity is actually a mindset and what you believe about increase. So before he uses the statement, do not worry, he says, do you have the right mindset about your money? Do you have the right mindset about your increase and prosperity? And prosperity is not only money, but it includes money. Prosperity is holistic. Almost to say is if you have the right mindset around how God brings increase, all these worries will come into line. So let's go to the next slide. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? See, when it comes to prosperity, because there's five things that we're going to speak to. There's prosperity, then there's provision. And when you come from prosperity to provision, you've got to understand the difference between those two spaces. Prosperity is a mindset. Provision is very practical, right? And then you've got your protection, right? Because that's where what happens when you're worried about, am I protected? And then there's promises and there's all these things that God wants to do for you. But if we know how to pray into them, we'll know how to break them down. So it says, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink. What you'll put on is not life more than food and the body more than clothing. Let's keep reading. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So here you have prosperity and you're worried about it. So Jesus talks about all this money stuff. And then it's like once you get that into line, provision will come. I'll supply. You don't need to worry about food and clothes because that's provision if we understand prosperity. Now, if you're worried about prosperity, like if you ever feel divided about the big blessing that is going to come into your life, ask yourself this, am I being generous? Sometimes the greatest way to fix worry around prosperity is to be generous. Just be generous. Let me be really clear, and I say this on behalf of me, is this. Tithing is not generosity, it's integrity. Right? Tithing is integrity because it's God's. Generosity is anything outside of that. You want to give more? Awesome. That's generosity. Right? And so if you're worried about prosperity, just be generous. I work with a lot of business people all the time and kingdom business people, and I'm always up to do one meeting, right? And in the first meeting, I'll always ask them this, do you tithe? I'm talking personally, do you tithe? Now, I know everyone's, you know, there's different things that I'll get. I may get emails even after today, you know, tithing's not new covenant, all that other stuff. Let me put it this way. Are you trying to argue with me to give more or less? You go, I'm a New Testament giver. I'm a New Covenant giver. Awesome. The book of Acts, they sold their houses to give. Let's work with that if that's what you're trying to figure out. But don't argue with me to try to give less. Right? So you've got these, you know, be generous. That's not tithing. Tithing's integrity. But I will talk very often to business people and go, are you tithing? Just you. Like, are you tithing? And if they say no, I won't do a second meeting with them until they get their alignment into order. I'll tell you why. Because they want supernatural advice on unsanctified money. So I can't do it until you give it unto the Lord. Why? Because surrender and worry cannot coexist. Right? And so if you're worried about prosperity and am I in line with God's best for my life and his increase, be generous. Right? Let's go to the next slide. If we go to Matthew 6:25, there we go. I think they're a little bit out of order, but it's all good. So here we have prosperity. And so then he comes to provision, correct? Like he goes all this prosperity stuff and then he jumps to provision. And he talks about your clothing and your food. And then he talks about having a heavenly father and who you are. What does that mean? It means that when God wants to provide for your clothes and your food, you have to know your identity in the kingdom. When you are a child of God, he is going to supply your food and your clothing. So if you are worried about provision, which is super practical now, you have to have a revelation of I'm a child in the kingdom. I'm a child in the kingdom, right? If you go, Andrew, I'm worried about practical provision, food, mortgage payments, all that stuff, you have to have a revelation and a realignment with this is who I am in the new covenant. I'm a child of God. Right? I'm a child of God and he supplies according to his riches in glory. Well, then from provision, you have to understand then protection. Like protection is where he says that, are you not worth more than the birds of the air? Are you not worth more than them? Like your heavenly father feeds them. And I've got them, so why wouldn't I protect you? So when it comes to prosperity, if you're worried about prosperity, what's the win? What's the muscle that you're going to pray in? You're just going to go and be generous. Go and write a check. When you're worried about provision, have a revelation of this is who I am in the new covenant. I'm a child, and it's Father's pleasure to give me the kingdom. When it's protection, you have to know who he is in the new covenant. So when it's provision, I need to know who I am. When it's protection, I need to know who he is and have a fresh revelation of Father, because it says, Jesus says, it is the Father, your heavenly Father knows what you need and he will protect you. What does that mean? It means that he will go out of his way to ensure that if you're worried about protection, you have a father that wants to take care of you. He's not an angry God that says, you know what? I didn't like you today. You're done now. I'll remove myself. No, if you're worried about protection, this is the prayer you pray. You say, Heavenly Father, I'm yours. I'm yours. You in this new covenant, you will protect me. Doesn't mean you'll be comfortable, but you'll be protected, right? So and when you're protected, we have a revelation of who he is. Then it goes on to say this, and it talks about Solomon, right? There's all these scriptures about Solomon and how God made the lilies that are even better dressed than anything that Solomon could ever have. Do you understand how rich Solomon actually was? Like Josephus, the historian, said, there was no king out of all kings that were richer than Solomon, like ever. If we did an equivalent of what his wealth was today, just the gold that he had was between 200 and 500 billion. If you looked at everything he had, it was up to $2 trillion. Okay. You worried about some rich people on Instagram? When he talks about Solomon, when Jesus talks about Solomon, he says, do not worry. How does one worry add any cubit to your stature? Like the amount I've worried in, I should be a lot taller than what I actually am. But worry cannot add stature. If you worry, and what is this particular worry? It's perception. Perception of, oh, I hope they think well of me. I hope if I buy this, will people think I'm wealthier than what I actually am? Do you know that most luxury brands are targeted towards poor people? Go and read their marketing. You want to know why? Because it's the idea of wealth that people want to buy, not actual wealth. Right? I want people to think I'm something. And that, let me put it this way, I'm going to set you all free right now. Even at Warner. People are not thinking about you as much as you think. You walk down the street and something embarrassing happens and you honestly think everyone's looking. They don't care. They're more worried about themselves. Right? And so here we have Jesus using language, and I'm talking, he's using very extreme language to go, you think that being dressed well, like, you know, what shall I eat and what shall I wear? This is different to provision. This is you eating things to impress people. This is you wearing things to impress people. This is you having things because people pleasing is a curse. I'll tell you right now, when I look at all the work I've done in the last 7 years, and I work with a team, but when we work with people with addictions, do you know that if I distill it long enough and far enough back, a coping mechanism, and I'm not only talking about the hard stuff, I'm talking about any addiction. If I distill it all the way back, it started with an insecurity that became a worry. For most, not all, but most. You'll distill it and you go, what were you worried about? Well, I was worried that I couldn't pay the bills, so I started drinking a bottle of wine every night. Why? So I didn't have to feel that worry anymore. Jesus said, do not worry. This isn't lower on the scale of importance. Not when you realize what a long-term worry can do to your life. Because we worry about those things. We worry about prosperity, provision, protection, people-pleasing, and perception. We worry about it. And then the last one, let me put it this way, with the Solomon thing, I've got to keep going here just for a minute, is because when you worry constantly about people-pleasing or the perception of you, you've got to realize this, that if God got his hands dirty for your life, and for what he created, it's a lot better than you trying to make something up for your life. Let me put it this way. When Jesus says, oh, I made the lilies, are they not better dressed than Solomon? He's saying, whatever I make is worth more than what a trillionaire can. Like, I'm willing to get my hands dirty for lilies that fade away tomorrow. Even the greatest tailor, a trillionaire's tailor, cannot outdo God's creativity for you. So whatever God gets his hands dirty for, he sustains. going, if I get my hands dirty for it, and he got his hands dirty for us when he created us. He got his hands dirty for us when he stretched them out on the cross. Whatever he gets his hands dirty for, he sustains. Whatever we get our hands dirty for, we have to sustain. I don't want Solomon's tailor. I want God to be the person that does everything and builds my life. And so with the people pleasing and the perception worry, what do we have to do? We have to know our purpose. What is the remedy for being worried about people pleasing? Your purpose. Have clarity on your purpose. Because when you have clarity on your purpose, it doesn't matter what people think about you. If you're clear on your purpose, what you wear doesn't matter because God's designing it and getting your hands dirty. When you're clear about your purpose, the decisions you make about your finances and investments, doesn't matter whether people are impressed by it or not, because you are living in alignment with what God has already said. So you can see what he's already seen. Right? And finally, the last P is promise. Right? Promise. When you understand that you have a revelation of prosperity, and then you have a revelation of provision, then you have a revelation of protection, then you have a revelation of perception because you're free from people pleasing, it leads to a life of promise. And what's the promise? It's that the kingdom is now yours. Don't worry about tomorrow. That's going to have worries of its own. Think about just today, because there is a promise for today. And it says in 2 Corinthians that all the promises are in him and they are yes and amen. Come on, if you believe that today, say amen. Warner, say amen. His promises are yes and amen. Ephesians 2:6 says that we are seated in heavenly places. It means that the worries that are down here in the natural, if we actually zoom out, and we live in the new covenant of being seated in heavenly places. Here's my question. In your heavenly seat, are you really worried? When you're worried, how long does that, you know, take away from your heavenly seat? I want to show you a diagram because this will help you. All right? If we can bring the diagram up. Just this, right? This right here will give you the MRI that you need so that you understand where am I in the journey, okay? So do not worry right here. A worry is only an inner thought or an imagination. Who knows that worry is not real in the moment? Most of the time, we worry about the future that hasn't happened yet. Who's an overthinker? Real quick. You can be an overthinker. I'm an overthinker. I'll put my hand up. When was the last time we were overthinking about something positive? Like if you're going to overthink, be a redeemed overthinker. Come on, Warner, be a redeemed overthinker. I've got to think about his goodness and his grace and his mercy and the testimony of what he's done in my life. I've got to think of his prosperity and his promise and his protection and what he wants to do in my life and his provision. Like, that's what I want to overthink about. I don't want anxiety leg in bed. Why? Because surrender and worry cannot coexist. But what happens is we have this inner thought and imagination, and here's the science of it, right? Is when I'm fearful, I release a frequency. When I'm faith-filled, I release a frequency. Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I say frequency to you. Do not worry. The fear part is when we start saying, remember he says, do not worry or do not say almost, what shall we wear? What shall we eat? Jesus said, do not worry. So here's my question is, do we agree with what Jesus has already said over our lives? Right? Because that'll change the trajectory. Is it wrong to worry? Well, you are going to worry. It's what you do with it next that matters. You're going to have a thought and then you're going to say something, right? If you release fear, you create a relationship with control. Worried people that lead to fearful people control every relationship because it can't be anything but that, right? But if you speak in faith, you create relationships built on covenant, new covenant reality, where you might be in a harsh situation, but you can speak to the promises that are coming, right? And then finally, after you create a relationship, two things are released. You're either going to create a manipulative ecosystem with the kingdom of darkness or a manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. Do not worry wasn't Jesus' cute sermon about birds and lilies. Do not worry was a command so that you don't seed something that can affect your future. Do not worry. He said, we want to know his ways in Psalm 67. Worry takes away from his ways. Worry is not new covenant and it's not part of our inheritance. So I encourage you today, when you do a worry MRI, know the solutions. If I'm worried about prosperity, let me give to something. Let me just write a check. Let me be generous. If I'm worried about provision, I need a fresh revelation of who I am as a child of God. Just read Romans 8 until it changes. If I'm worried about protection, I need to know who he is in the new covenant. Go and read. Just go and read Galatians 4. All the revelation of the new covenant reality. And then, if you're worried about people pleasing, you're too worried about everybody else and not your own purpose. Get clarity on your purpose. And finally, if you're worried about the promises in the kingdom for you, which are yes and amen, get all those old prophetic words out over your life and start declaring them over and over and over again. And if you don't have a prophetic word from a person, then you get it from the word. Go and find that scripture, that life scripture, and read it over and over and over again. So we can live a worry-free life that is blessed and highly favored. Why don't you stand up to your feet real quick and let me pray for you. Everyone at Warner, I just want to declare over that location right now, just like Moray Field, Jesus' three powerful words. Do not worry. Do not worry. And there'll be ministry time at Warner, and I just want to release Warner now back to Pastor Nina as I pray here at Moray Field. Thank you, Warner, for your love and your grace. And I just know the presence of God is there to see breakthrough in your lives right now. Here at Moray Field, I believe, and this is why this took me 14 months to write, because it's so big, I didn't know how to frame it. Worry steals your future. It robs you of a new covenant reality that Jesus died and beat death for. And yet we know the songs, we sing the songs, and yet we still go to bed worried. I think it is a subtle seed of the enemy. And I want to go to war with worry. Because what I've seen is the outcomes of people who don't know how to do this. It becomes so confused, it becomes so painful, and then we find coping mechanisms to deal with worry that we should have always just surrendered. So today, right here at Moray Field, if you come to the altar, you're not doing it because, oh, I just need to get free of worry, which is probably part of it. But your kids are watching you, and your nieces and nephews are watching you. Your family's watching you. And if you talk to them about a Jesus that supplies all your needs, but every time you talk to them, you release a frequency of fear about worry, what do you think that does to them? They go, why believe a God if you're still worried? Like, why believe about this God that you say did all this for me, has eternity figured out for you, and yet you still worry about what's next? Today's actually a prophetic act for you, your family, and your future. So we're going to sing, and as we do that, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. We're going to pray. Simple prayers, but powerful prayers, where you can live completely free from worry. Because some of us, we love Jesus, but what worry does to our lives doesn't allow us to live in the fullness of everything he's wanted to give us. It's all there, but it's time to live free. Are you ready to live free more, I feel? All right, we're going to sing. If that's you, why don't you come to the front?